This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
You know the problem Apple had with the U.S. government over encryption? Well, France is looking at arresting tech executives who don't help investigations. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. In France, lawmakers this week will debate whether to make it easier for government intelligence services to see personal data, such as that which might be found on an iPhone. Marketplace's Sabri Benachour is following this. Sabri, what are the French considering?
Well, the proposal that's been on the table in France would threaten tech executives with prison sentences of up to 5 years and impose fines of nearly $400,000 if they don't hand over encrypted information to investigators. And, you know, this debate is really a replay of what we've been seeing here in the U.S. You know, one camp there says law enforcement can't do its job if it can't hack into a terrorist recovered cell phone. The other side says there are some things that governments just shouldn't be allowed to do. And Apple is also involved over there. The New York Times reported that Tim Cook has been meeting with high-level European politicians to lobby for the right to encryption. At the same time, it's been sharing non-encrypted data like GPS and metadata with law enforcement there, investigating terrorism, sort of make a good impression.
Right. And what are other European countries saying about this?
This debate is happening all across Europe, and you see them weighing the balance between fundamental rights and security differently. Legislation's coming in Britain that would keep track of websites visited by people in Britain for the past year. It would allow bulk data collection and let intelligence agencies hack phones. On the other side, you have Germany and the Netherlands, both highly wary of forcing tech companies to create backdoors to encryption. The Netherlands basically explicitly saying, you know, backdoors can be used by good guys and bad guys.
All right. And this targets mainly U.S. companies, right?
Oh, yes. Google, Apple would be affected. Microsoft, Twitter, Yahoo have all been lobbying hard against these laws.
Mm-hmm. Marketplace's Sabri Benachour. Thank you. There's news this morning that the big Japanese phone company NTT is buying one piece of Dell of Texas, $3 billion for Dell's information tech consulting operation. This is the part of Dell that was once known as Perot Systems, founded by former presidential candidate Ross Perot, famous for his line about the giant sucking sound of U.S. jobs going to Mexico under NAFTA. Dell, which is privately held these days, still owns the former EMC Corporation, which does a lot of this IT consulting. You know about registries for convicted sex offenders. Now, Utah has launched an online registry that lists financial criminals. It's been called the first of its kind in the U.S. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has the story.
Utah's white-collar crime offender registry has mugshots, names, aliases, and lists crimes like fraud, theft by deception, and money laundering. Utah Attorney General Sean Reyes says the purpose is to help consumers avoid financial predators.
This is public information already that is very difficult for the average person to access, so really just streamlining that process and making it user-friendly.
Part of getting off the list is paying restitution to victims, a challenge for lawmakers all over the country. But some complain the registry continues punishing even after offenders serve their time. Sam Buell is a law professor at Duke University.
It's not really the way we traditionally punish people in our society. We punish them with fines and prison sentences and probation. We don't punish them with public shaming.
And Buell isn't convinced it will do much to deter white-collar crime. But as far as Utah lawmakers are concerned, if it makes more people pay up, it's a success. I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
The main employment and unemployment reports for this month are due on Friday. Forecasters expect strong-ish job growth, with unemployment remaining under 5%. But among the things we'll be watching, the millions of workers who have dropped out of the labor force altogether, and among those, about 1.5 million prime-age men not working anymore and not looking. From the Marketplace desk at OPB, Mitchell Hartman has more.
A lot of these men, from their mid-20s to mid-50s, used to be their family's main wage earners. Caretaking now keeps some of them busy. According to the Labor Department, in the last decade, there's been a 30% increase in the number of middle-aged men who say they're not working because of family responsibilities.
I'm Anna. Elsa.
Yeah.
These two little girls, age 2 and 5, are the day job of stay-at-home dad Jonah Sutton Morse. They were showing me their movie princess costumes via Skype. Sutton Morse is 33, a former business consultant living in suburban Chicago.
I would love to do it forever and ever and ever.
Sutton Morse's wife is a law firm lawyer, so they can afford this one-income life for a while, anyway.
It's both hard to find a job that would pay for childcare and for what I am doing for our family right now. And also, the longer I don't do that, the harder it becomes to go back to what I was doing or find something new to do.
According to the Labor Department, disability accounts for the biggest block of prime-age men not working now, many of them getting government benefits. Economist Peter Morisi at the University of Maryland argues some of these men, along with others who have simply become discouraged, could find work.
Indolence has become a problem with American men.
Morisi knows this opinion raises hackles outside conservative economic circles.
When I talk about this on the radio, I'll get emails from someone who'll say, well, you know, I was a vice president of a PR company. Do you really expect me to take a job at a Starbucks? My answer to that is yes.
Economist William Rogers at the Rutgers University Workforce Development Center insists it's not that simple. He volunteers for United Way.
I'm sure you can find me one person who, yeah, he's being lazy and fits that. But for the most part, people want to work. People want to contribute.
Rogers says what's holding many of them back is low wages in the jobs that are available and deteriorating skills as they stay out of the workforce longer and longer. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And you know how student loan debt sticks with you even through bankruptcy? That may not be the case in at least one limited situation. The new little asterisk here involves a law student borrowing to study for the bar exam. A federal bankruptcy judge in New York has decided that a bar exam debt is the kind of commercial loan that might not have to be paid back if a student enters bankruptcy protection. Some lawmakers in Washington are considering ways to make it occasionally possible to get out of student loan debt. That said, the U.S. Supreme Court not long ago opted not to hear a case about this. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.